At least there's not a dinner in the meeting, I don't know.
Okay, if you want to start, or we can wait for Alyssa.
Okay. Turn back from closed session at 7:35. And with no action taken or to report. Okay, so consent calendar.
Move that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Director Lieberman?
Here.
Director Miller?
Here.
Director Grace?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
I meant mine too, a yes.
Yeah, he's still here. He survived through. Okay.
We say yes.
Committee report. Finance.
Finance committee met last week. We discussed several topics which are on the agenda tonight.
Okay. Personnel meeting. There was none. Meeting. Emergency preparedness.
No meeting. We'll be meeting next month.
Lake water use.
No meeting.
No meeting. Okay. And train, no meeting. So on that happy note, we'll go to Valley Oaks is still where it's at. Yeah, that's right. It's on the backside. I had to flip the page. Yeah, no, it's sitting tight right now. So list of board priorities. Underground infrastructure. Hearing no comments. Okay, I&I. Oh, Tank 9.
Well, Tank 9 is one of the discussions and possible action on the agenda to award a contract.
Yeah, moving along. Generators.
That's generators awesome. Is also on the agenda.
Okay.
Looking at possibly purchasing the generator ahead of time, but it's on the agenda.
SCADA?
There again, SCADA, a portion of SCADA is also on the agenda.
All right. Well, moving to staff reports. Financial report.
Trish isn't going to be with us here tonight, so any questions that you may have that come up, we can direct them to her.
And one of the things I wanted to point out is Trish, you probably noticed, has started adding some additional notes regarding the questions about the finances. The questions came up during the finance committee, and she volunteered to go ahead and start adding the extra notes to the financial report to kind of head off some of the questions that she anticipated.
Okay.
Thank you, Trish.
Administration and customer service report. Any comments?
No shutoffs left, I saw that.
Yeah, that was nice to see. No remaining locked. That was very good.
One thing I noticed, there seemed to be spike in our wastewater in July?
As far as?
Compared to last year.
Are you on the field report?
It was in the...
this is in the bar and graph section?
Okay, on the influence side? I would have to refer to Barry.
I'm just curious.
I will ask him and report back to you on that. Do you
have to? Not that I know of, but I'll start.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Are you on the field report? Yeah, I got a question as far as on the customer service. On Timber Point, new house getting built, we got meters already or not?
One meter.
One
so
meter.
So the other lot hasn't been purchased yet.
Yeah, okay, but there is. Okay, yeah. Good deal. All right. Alrighty. Any other questions? Miss Hannah?
Okay. Alright, so for the aqua report,
For the Water Quality Committee, there was an update on hexavalent chromium. The Water Board had a public workshop on the proposed regulation earlier this month. We attended it, and they just reiterated the findings that they had in previous reports, but we submitted more public comment on that, and the letter was attached to the offer report. In regards to PFAS, there's relatively good news for PFAS monitoring right now. A bill that was proposed a few months ago that would adopt a polluter pays mentality in terms of releasing utilities from having liability when it comes to PFAS contamination, because it's usually due to a manufacturer that PFAS is in the environment. That bill is progressing in the federal government, and we submitted letters of support to both of our California senators on that. There were no updates on the Water Management Committee, and for the State Legislative Committee, since the last 2 months, there have not been any new committee meetings, but there was an update for SB 3, which is similar to SB 998, although it would require, which SB 998, it's in regards to us discontinuing residential water service. SB 3 would also require us to allow for customers, regardless of their financial difficulties or regardless of their deferred payment amount or whatever's left on their account, that we would have to offer payment plans to them. So the only update on that is that we have joined a working group where we can evaluate new language as the author of the bill changes things or does not change things.
Very good.
Any questions? No? Okay, field operations report. Any questions, comments? Hearing none. Project updates?
Okay, the backup power reliability project should be a few pages down, Benny. A few things have been happening in this one. We had an on-site walkthrough for the construction management and inspection proposers. We had one attendee, and the deadline for submittal of construction management proposals was the 3rd, and we got no responses. So we're probably going to have to go out to bid again on this. There are actions in the agenda tonight for generator procurement, and we expect, or we hope to have bids submitted, invitation to bids submitted sometime in September, and hopefully an award of contract in October. So the fact that the construction management and inspection proposal didn't happen this time isn't a deal breaker. We'll have to just go out to bid again. We had hoped to have our design documents at 100% on the 4th of August, and we just got them today. So we have them on the 15th, and that does still fall in line with, as long as we have time to review, make our comments, respond back to GHD, they make their changes, we can still put that out to bid and have an award of contract soon. The defensive space and ignition resistant construction project is nearing its completion. We met it earlier this month. We've received all 100% documents. We've submitted our notice of exemption, which we will follow up with submittal to the OPR clearinghouse for the state. And we have asked them for their final invoice to us, as this phased project is drawing to a close and we are within budget and timeline, on budget and on time. The water system storage reliability project is also agendized tonight. It's been rather busy. Last month and this month, we opened bids on the 1st. That is a typo. We actually received 5 proposals, and GHD was able to verify the lowest apparent bidder, and we would like to move forward with an award of contract to that lowest apparent bidder, should it please the board. So we can talk about that probably in more detail on the agenda item. And the water distribution reliability project, we did receive, after feedback from the original draft condition summary report, we did receive the revised one on the 31st. Other projects, we continue to look for funding with the Flashes project, to include a funding announcement with the Department of Energy, funding opportunity announcement 3045. We submitted. We are still waiting for a response. We expect to have that at the end of the month. We are looking into the Regional Resilience Grant Program. It's a state-funded program that's offering funds for planning and implementation projects up to $3 million. And the NOAA funding, I'll need to be reminded what that acronym is, National Oceanographic something or other, that thing, is also offering grant funding for planning and implementation. For the Flashes project, it would be an implementation grant, and they're offering funding between 15 and 75 million. So that would be a nice shot in the arm. We have received the implementation, so the completion of the last proposal from West Yost is this implementation plan. We've received it and have closed out that particular contract with them. We continue to work on the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund. This was born out of the need for more funds for projects that revolve around water reliability. And as it stands, the bottom line is looking to be around $28 million. Drinking Water State Revolving Fund is obviously state-funded opportunity, and currently the HMGP funds that we have are obviously federally funded, so this would be in addition to those. And because we have been designated as a disadvantaged community, these funds remain, there's no match required because of our disadvantaged status, which was news to us only a few months ago did we learn that. So that's a great opportunity for us. We've been working on the bond issuance. We've had a meeting with the council, an underwriter that NHA Advisors has procured. They have developed some draft documents for us that we continue to work through. One of them is on the agenda tonight. And the Brambles project, representative from Middletown Rancheria has confirmed that the construction site is of cultural importance. So we are working towards getting a cultural monitor to be present during the construction. That is my story. Sticking to it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Glad to hear about additional possible funding opportunities.
Yeah, all 75 million.
Always.
Great.
Always looking.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. General Manager's report.
Is there any questions? We want to get on to the topics. We did, like Alyssa said, met with Brambles, Greg, James, a representative from GHD and myself, and we talked about those concerns and how we work with the Rancheria.
Okay.
And the Brambles. The other thing that I'd like to mention is Jacob, our Civic Sparks, today was his final day.
He was his last day.
We wished him well. So.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he was doing a good job. I wish I could have said goodbye.
Yeah, well, the day's not done. He shouldn't be gone yet.
So, on the other side of things, as far as the audit goes, the audit's going to be pushed out till September. Trish talked to Norm, so that's all going to be pushed out. And after the meeting, I can explain why. Okay. I wanted to tell you all in person, so
okay.
I'll explain that after the meeting.
Got it.
Okay.
Other than that, if you have any questions for me, happy to answer them.
I think that covers it pretty well.
Thank you.
All right. Now to the fun stuff. Discussion and possible action. Approval of Resolution 2023-07, a resolution of the Hidden Valley Community Service District regarding intention to issue tax-exempt obligations.
Yeah, listen, do you want to speak on this? Is Cyrus here this evening or no?
Nope. Okay. He was here for our Finance Committee meeting.
Okay.
And where this was discussed in a level of detail.
Well, then I'll take that back and I'll let the Finance Committee give their recommendation.
Okay.
Okay. And basically, just summarizing it, this is a resolution that we would have to adopt before we could actually go out and solicit bond issues and anything of that nature. By adopting this, this resolution doesn't mean that we would have to go out and secure, bonds, but it would just set the groundwork so that we would be able to do that, if we decide to do that down the road. And this would have to be done before we could,
It puts a place marker on this as well.
Yes.
So anything that we pay forward, we can also.
Yes, yeah, there's some, if you look, there's some time limits on, how far back we can go, how far forward we can go.
So it doesn't obligate us to anything, but it sets some markers.
It just, lays the groundwork, so if we decide in the future to pursue a bond, we would be able to do that. And the Finance Committee has recommended that we do approve that.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 2023-07.
Second.
All right, there's the second. Ms. Penny.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
Director Miller?
Yes.
Director Grace?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes. Okay. Item 11, discussion possible action, award a contract to C.V. Larson for the water storage reliability project.
So this is the award of contract to the lowest bidder for the Unit 9 tank, and I think the Finance Committee also has their recommendation on that as well. And I know that we went with, I believe we're going with two fuse glass tanks, if I'm correct.
We discussed this also in the Finance Committee, and if you compare the other bid proposals, this was the lowest bid, and also I think it was GHG had some experience working with this company, if I remember correctly. And the other thing that we discussed at the Finance Committee was, do we go with the glass fuse tanks or the epoxy coated tanks? There's a difference of about $140,000, something in that range. And based on the reduced maintenance and potentially longer lifetime of the glass line, the committee recommends that we approve C.V. Larson, and we go with the two glass fused tanks.
Okay.
Anything else to add, Jim?
No, I think that was it. I think we certainly bantered that back and forth and realized that the glass fused was on the inside and would not appear as though it was glass on the outside, and everybody understood that. So we don't have, there's no way that anybody is going to really understand that that's a glass fused unless they're aware of what we're doing now. There was concern that maybe that would invited some kind of vandalism, but I think that's somewhat far-fetched.
Well, in a previous life, I worked with a lot of glass-lined vessels, and they're very durable and they last a long, long time.
And then the corrosion factor.
Exactly.
It pencils out.
Yeah.
Only talk about it that way.
Where's C.V. Larson out of?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa.
Yeah, I thought it was Windsor, but yeah.
Okay, nearby. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Any other comments? Do I hear any
questions? I'd like to move that we accept that C.V. Larson as the little bidder.
I second that.
You're on, Penny.
And with what material?
With the glass fused tanks.
With the glass fused, yeah.
With the glass fused, the two tanks with the glass fused. Correct, that's the motion. Yes. Right, Jim?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Director Miller?
Yes.
Director Grace?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
I'll say yes, even though I can't hear my name.
I can't hear Penny. Yeah.
Director Brown?
Yes. Okay. Okay, so authorize the general manager to purchase stationary generators in support of the backup power reliability project.
Yeah, so this is purchasing the generators before the project ever starts, or is recommended to start, but it seems like it's the cheapest way to do it and the smartest way to do it. So we're asking that we purchase these generators, and I think there again that the finance committee.
Yeah, and again, if you look at the lead times,
yes.
They're what, 40 to 42 weeks.
Yep.
So
I was just reading the fine print.
And GSD had recommended a while back that we purchase them directly. They thought that would be a cost savings method and also shorten the timeline since the lead times are so long. Yeah.
Timeline and cost savings.
Now, in our discussion in the Finance Committee, one of our concerns was, will we have the money to pay for these generators? Or do we need to approve the purchase of the bond to support the financing of these generators, along with other projects? And that's why we had asked Alyssa to put together kind of a schedule of the funding, and I think that's what you have here, if you want to explain that, Alyssa.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is a snapshot of the expense tracking forecast spreadsheet, minus everything else. It's just the expenses for the Tank 9 and the generator project, with the reimbursements built in for the existing grant award agreements. So you can see, for example, in Q3 23, that row, we are taking money away from capital reserves for the Tank 9 and generators, and it leaves with a balance of 1.476. And then the next following rows are the reimbursements for those expenses, so it brings that balance back up on the far right, and so it goes down the chart until the projects until the Tank 9 project is complete and the generator purchase is complete. You can see the bottom line is nowhere near zero, even without the bond.
Okay. And so the summary, kind of the question, would we have the funds even if we didn't approve the bond issue? And Seth's telling us yes, we would. And it's important to note this does not include the construction. This is just the purchase of the generators themselves.
Yeah.
So they can get old and dangerous like me, right?
Exactly.
Combustible.
Hopefully. And anything to add, Jim?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's some lead time there, and as you said, the most important thing was that we could afford these even if we didn't have to go out with a bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I agree. You agree with me that we both recommend that that the board approve the purchase.
Yeah. We did do that.
Yeah.
That is correct. We did that.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the Cummins generators, right?
No, I do not believe so.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'd be looking at.
Yeah,
I was just going over where our runtime was for the 400 kW, but I was just curious. Which one are you looking at? What are you thinking?
I think we're looking at.
Yeah, it's looking like the Kohler from Bay City.
Okay.
Honestly, the ones that are included in the staff report here,
mm-hmm.
No one was able to provide the exact specifications that we needed. We needed a tier 4, and we needed a 400 kilowatt for this building, the admin building, and a 250 yep. for the Green Ridge.
Okay.
And that's exactly what Blue Star was able to provide, only Blue Star.
Okay.
And reasonable.
What's the difference between tier 4 and tier 3 and tier 2?
EPA, air quality.
EPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, what?
Yes. What? That's exactly right. So
they're cleaner. So they're cleaner. And then also, it's the rules, especially if you're going to have a stationary combustible, gas burning, or, so like our tractors, how the different tractors get aged out and that sort of thing by EPA rules. You have tier 4. Is there tier 5 yet? We're not there yet.
I don't think we're there.
Yeah, we were getting out of tier 3 a little while ago into tier 4. So it's, it's just that they meet more stringent air quality requirements.
Okay, yeah, more stringent. For example, could we install the tier 3 at this point and use them? And the concern is that down the road,
they'd say you have to stop using them.
We might have to stop using them.
That's exactly right. GHD is recommending the tier 4 so that we don't have to buy generators again.
Yeah.
Right? This is a built to last kind of decision.
Famous last words.
anything can change.
What's the power plan in Blue Star? I can't see that here. Unless I missed it. What motor are they running in them?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't get into the details of that.
All right.
Oh, I thought there was something in here about that.
Yeah, I'm glancing through.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
I can find out the details of it, but I didn't get into that.
So none of the other guys were offering tier 4, is that correct? Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
There's that. And have we had any?
Generac had one T4, but not the other, according to my notes here, right?
Got it.
And we got, when you look at the wastewater plant, right, it doesn't even fall into a tier.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't recommended that we do anything with that. And we report to them every year. So
I was curious if these were going to be, they're going to be built as. Right.
Yeah.
So therefore, was it 2025 motors or something like that, which they're starting to make?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't require the DEF. Yeah. So I'm just curious if these were going to be DEF required or not.
I don't know, but I can find that out.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We need the generators.
And when you look at Sacramento, they already had to push out 4 of their generators because they didn't meet air quality. So it also depends on the county that you're in. And right now, the county that we're in, we miss a lot of that for now. But
yeah,
you're gonna stay
for this way. 5 seconds. Okay, on that happy note.
And again, as we mentioned, the Finance Committee recommended that we authorize the General Manager to go ahead with the purchase. And I guess the question is now is do we go with the Blue Star, is that what they're called?
Kohler.
B3
Kohler, yeah.
Blue Star, yeah.
Yeah, Blue Lucera.
Or whatever it is, yeah, yeah. Hello, any comments? Generator?
Yeah, I think we're still on that question of just, like you said with that, the big question is the tier three and when are they going to start requiring tier four?
Yeah.
It's also that sort of thing when you have the expert opinion of go with tier four.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes prudence is the better part of valor on that. So.
Well, and plus from a public standpoint, you know, we're just going to say less air pollution,
Well, there's
run
that.
A little cleaner than so.
Of course, we care about that very deeply. It's very important.
Well, the one thing is got a 3,000-gallon tank on that puppy.
Yeah.
And by golly, we all know how important that is to have. Hopefully, it doesn't gobble it up at 3,000 gallons an hour. But
yeah, this is 72 hours at full load.
You hear their customers,
they never
customer
run it,
support.
So.
Yeah. Is great.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
Yeah. No, I think, I move that we authorize the general manager to purchase stationary generators and support the backup power reliability project and to pursue that with Kohler per the recommendation of GHD.
Yeah, I will second that motion.
Okay, with a first and a second. Ms. Penny, roll call.
Director Lieberman.
Yes.
Director Miller.
Yes.
Director Grace.
Yes.
Director Freeman.
Director Freeman.
Yes.
Director Brown.
Yes. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Discussion possible. I authorize general manager to enter into a contract with Wes Yoist for grant identification and application submission of SCADA not to exceed $80,000.
So this is part of SCADA. We kind of took SCADA and put it on the back burner as far as it not being part of this bond that we're looking at. We're either going to have to start replacing SCADA as needed on an as-needed basis for now. And I thought the smarter money would have Wes Yoist, because there are a lot of different options, especially when it comes to cybersecurity and everything else that's out there for SCADA, and they specialize in this, to have them look for the money for us.
And I understand that they actually have a whole department set up specifically to look for funding for these type of projects.
Right.
They've got quite a bit of experience doing that.
Yes, they do. And they said with our situation, the funding looks really good, but anybody can say that, right? But I figured it would be the smarter money. Their actually implementation plan looked really good. We want to go over that at some point, bring it to the board and show you what they've come up with. But it does break everything down. I kind of jumped ahead into this portion of it, asked them to put this together to see what they could do. So I'm asking that we trust in them to get the funding, because we're talking, I want to say the whole project was right around $12 million.
Yeah.
Okay? And we just can't afford it unless we can find funding. So unless the funding comes through, it's pretty much a replace as we need project.
Yeah. And again, we did discuss this in the Finance Committee, and we decided, because of all the funds that would be required for this project and Wes Yoist's experience in obtaining this type of funding, we thought that this would be money well spent toward the future. Any other comments, Jim?
No, I think, I agree with you. Just.
So with that, I would go ahead and make a motion that we authorize the general manager to sign this agreement with Wes Yoist to pursue funding opportunities.
I'll second the motion.
Director Miller?
Yes.
Director Grace?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes. Oh, all right. Okay, discussion possible action. Projects workshop narrative.
Once upon a time.
Okay.
In a land far, far away.
Okie dokie.
Were you able
almost
to
feels it? Like a
sorry.
Summer reading list.
It's a narrative.
Yeah, there's a bit to this document, and you know, based on some requests for more information on the broad scope of these projects, the risk-reward relationship of doing these projects versus not doing these projects, trying to keep in mind having the district incur debt in order to do these projects was the basis for this narrative. It's a big old 16-17 page document. I'm not sure if everyone has had the opportunity to review it. I'm open to suggestions on how you want to go through this, well, if at all. If you have questions, or do we want to just touch on the highlights? How do you want to proceed?
Well, it was my thought that we get this in front of you, and this gives you time to look at this and really go through it. I think that if you have any questions or thoughts towards it, that you can email Alyssa and she can respond to those, but it gives you enough time before the workshop to really go through it. And I don't think you should have to be rushed to go through it. I don't think we really need to discuss it in length, and you can tell me I'm wrong, but I think it's just something that gets in front of you. And that way, I think it really answers and really drives that workshop in a more positive way.
We're definitely going to need that bond to get through what our percentage of the grant is going to be. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, it's wonderful that we've got these grant approvals because we need them all.
Right.
Well, yeah. The bad thing is we've got to come up with our portion of the funds for each of these in a short period of time. I think we have cutoff times that if we don't go to work on these, we won't be funded.
Absolutely.
Is that correct? So
that's correct.
We can lose
each one of the yes.
Which we don't want to do.
No.
But we just need, it's all about the money. We need that bond, seriously.
And, you know, look at the devastation just happened with another wildfire, too.
Yeah.
You know? Oh. And some of the projects that they were starting to do. So, yeah, it just, you know, all of these are very much needed. We're not grabbing anything out of the hat and say, oh, let's just do it.
Right.
It's much needed, all of it.
That was the problem I had. As I read through and read the conclusions, and I was trying to think, well, if we didn't have the funding, which ones do we not do?
Right.
I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
No, they're all critical.
They're all critical. Every one of them. So.
Yeah. Gentlemen, if I could interject, I think it this all came about as a result of the Finance Committee had some really probing questions for staff regarding the $5 million bond and how would the risk rewards, as Alyssa pointed out, could be best presented to the board, and that so that everybody understood how these risk rewards were laid out. And, you know, I want you all to give much credit to the staff for putting this thing together in a timely fashion and being able to put together a workshop at the end of September, right? No, the end of August, I'm sorry, the 26th of August, to lay all that out for you and that and to really make sure that everybody understood where we stood or where we stand right now and what we're getting into. Gary, if you want to add anything.
Yeah, not only what we're getting into, but kind of the timing of things too, shows the cash flows and you know, kind of decide, okay, if we do need to do the bond issue, at what point, you know, do we need to do that? And that's some additional information we're looking for.
Yeah, and I think it also gives all the directors the ability to be able to communicate why we need this $5 million bond, because I can pretty much guarantee you that we are going to be hammered from our constituents as to why we have to do it at this juncture with the economy the way it is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the workshop was extremely important, and I'm thankful that the staff has really run with us and put this together, and I think this is going to be a good meeting, and I think it may not be even as long as we think it might be. I don't think it's going to take 4 hours. I think once we go through this and realize what's involved with it, everybody's going to come away with an understanding that this is absolutely necessary for our continued existence.
Yeah. Do we have a ballpark idea of what this will mean to our ratepayer? This $5 million bond?
I believe that
this will be on the property tax.
Yes, that's correct.
We don't have some type of idea of what it'll do.
So the net revenue bond banks on the revenues of future revenues to pay for the projects in the present. And I believe that NHA put out their a forecast of inflation around 3-4%, which appears to be reasonable when you look at the past, not COVID past, but long-term past. So that is built into the bond structure, somewhere around 3-4% inflation.
If I remember correctly, since it's a revenue bond, not a general obligation bond, we do not need the public's approval. Is that correct?
Correct.
For a general obligation bond, taxpayers are responsible, so they have to approve it. On a revenue bond, the repayment is based on the revenue from the operation that's obtaining the funding.
So in the end, it's not being paid by the public's property taxes. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. It's coming from our revenue, not from their property.
It may well be paid by a rate increase.
Yes.
Well,
right.
Or we've already got some.
There again,
that additional funding, as far as the $28 million goes, it could switch up a lot of things. We could hold from the increase. They're not telling us, hey, you have to do this increase to get this bond. It's just a suggestion. We could hold it out for a few years. Obviously, we would want to go to an increase eventually, so we don't hit the high increases like we did. The other side of that, too, is nobody saw COVID coming. And, some of that just really spiked. And that's why we're actually going out to the bond, because before that, with those interest rates going up, we actually had this. We were looking really good. But with all that, it kind of put us where we're at. Not only that, but if we go out to an increase, pretty much some of the questions, and I think we've seen them before in the past, was, did you guys seek bonds? Right? They'd asked that. And we said we'd be looking at everything that we could, grants, bonds, all of it.
Yeah.
We didn't want to go to the bond, but 2020 kind of forced us.
What about the train money? What was that going to be? Is that still on the table? It was going to be like $5 million.
It's not completely off the table. They're still looking at that, so we still have all that too.
Wasn't
it's
that
no guarantee.
Million?
Well, that could all change as time moves forward. Nothing's set in stone yet. They're still looking.
You get the potential for a lot of
The reality is, repayment, there's only a couple ways to do it. One is you look at your service area. They either dig it up. Now, is your service area expanding? Not exactly great, but it's got potential, especially if you ever get this thing going over here, Valley Oak, but all good things come with time. So it all depends on how it grows. If we get a few, and I mean, not enough, it wouldn't be a, not like you're going to have a whole subdivision rebuilt here, because it won't happen. But if we can look for other opportunities within the marketplace to bring in capital, then that helps offset it too. So there's, it's the only couple ways you got. You either got to grow the business, or the, if the people want to keep it, then they're going to have to pony up. So with all that good stuff, we're going to read it before the meeting, eh?
That's the hope.
That's the hope. That's the hope that I'll stop and read it. Got it.
I was hoping that you would enlighten us in that. I was going to quiz you at the meeting.
Well, and one thing I liked, Tank 9 Cal OES is earmarked an additional $619,000.
Nice.
That is correct. We submitted an increase request in March, and it was sidelined for a while because there simply was no money. And right around May, June timeline, you know, things happen. Other projects get deobligated, and this money came back into this disaster bucket. And so they immediately earmarked it for us, knowing that we had this need.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, and the other side of that, anytime we increase our, you know, that, we also increase our match a little bit.
So. Right.
But given where the project's at from where it was actually going to be, we're back in line.
Yeah, that's good news.
Yep, and we also still have our funding from the state.
Yeah.
Further comment?
Well, thank you for this. I think it was very well put together, and
a lot of
risk versus cost and analysis, and I think it shed a really good light on all these projects.
Yeah,
and I thank staff for all their work on it.
Yeah, on the generators project, one of the possibilities was only funding one generator, but I think our only purchasing one generator at this point. But I think our funding is for two, right? So we would lose funding if we were to choose that option.
It would definitely be a change of scope and introduce complexity with the funding agency.
Yeah. All righty.
And Tank 4 is a concrete tank.
Yes. Lower, a smaller retaining wall.
Okay, move on to number 15, correspondence from Central State Water Resources.
Brian.
I'm all ears.
Did this show up in the mail?
You want to talk on this, Director Brown?
Well, we sent it out early, okay. I received a call out of the blue sky one afternoon from a lady asking if we'd ever consider selling out. Okay, I said, we've discussed a lot of things, but that's not been one of them.
Yeah.
But you never say never, you always have the first meeting, and whether you have the second one, you know. So anyways, I told her to forward me her information, and what's here is what we got. And apparently these, and I'm still in my mind trying to figure out exactly, it sounds like it's a venture capitalist group that buys struggling utilities. And so the couple of things right off the bat, one is, like I said, we haven't discussed it, and I don't think we want to discuss it, to be honest, in my book. But then again, my book is clouded with bourbon and Coke every now and then, so I thought I'd let everybody in on the thing and see what they thought.
I mean, my initial response, which I'm generally going to stick to, was kind of quoting the inimical Randy Jackson of, that's going to be a nope from me, dog. And I'm passing on it.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. One of the things, methodology is to consolidate systems into a single viable utility company. Well, what consolidate us with?
With what they already own.
Well,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, you ask the people in Lucerne and Nice how well it's worked out for them.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you
Golden State
consolidate them? I mean, maybe financially you consolidate them, but they're still going to be operating individually.
Hey, let me say one thing. I give her credit. You never know until you ask.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two is, I mean, we've kind of played around with some thoughts of working together with, like, Caleone and a few others. We're even working on things together. Just like our last thing we were just discussing about the bond, growth opportunities. By golly, if you don't reach out and grow and let somebody know, nobody's ever going to be able. So I thought, man, gutsy in one way. It surprised me in a bit. First of all, because it was on my cell phone. It had my name and number and knew exactly who she was talking to. And, yeah, but whatever. It's open to the public, that's for sure. You know, so in any case, there's a lot to learn from this stuff here in the terms of expansion that. I mean, just recently, Golden State worked out a deal with Crescent Bay. Okay, they've taken over that. So, you know, there's a lot to think about it for future, but nothing today we would jump on. But if you were looking to do a business plan for Hidden Valley CSD to expand, and there are agencies, especially out along the coast, that are struggling, that could use help, that could use more talent like we have. And so if you form either a joint venture or partnership or something like that helps generate revenue, they got some, there's some clues in there that are pretty good to think about. So in any case, my thought was just, first of all, I want to make sure everybody knew about it and not that I was just took and trashed it or something like that. But it is an option. If we all want to throw in the towel and say, here you guys go. You know, and you know, of course you can say, oh, you got to make sure you take care of all the employees. Well, okay, that's fine. But then what happens a year in it? They don't have to keep up with anybody. They'll change their thing, whatever. So in any case, we're not rich by any stretch. We're not struggling. There's been a lot of stuff that's been kicked down the road since this district was formed, and that's why I'm here. But to the point that we need to sell out or something like that, my vote's no. But then again, there's not a motion on the table.
Right.
And this is just information. And if we wanted to inquire more, I can pick up the phone and give her a holler, or Dennis could pick up the phone and give her a holler and let's hear what you guys have to say. But
you know, I think it's one of those things. I haven't mentioned Nice and Lucerne, that a community being able to determine the things that are necessary for life, you know, having your own water source, having a say in how things like that are done, that's hugely important. Just go ask those communities of how well it goes for them. Hey, sure, you may have an efficient organization. Well, government agencies can be efficient too. I would look at our agency for a case in point. Somebody that's you guys are all credit to our community. And so I think it's just, you know, for me, there was talk with the HOA of, you know, back when I was on the board there, oh, we're going to get this management company in, and they're going to bring in their own people, and they're going to have their own records, all that stuff. No, no, straight to the jugular. Not doing that. Because I've worked for all of this. I've worked for the private water companies. I've dealt with those guys. I have had plenty of customers that dealt with them. The management company that comes, oh, we can run it better. I've been on the contract vendor side and representing the homeowner, the resident, the citizen. It's not good. It's not American, honestly. It's just in my opinion, and it's self-determination. It's tough. Sometimes it's really challenging, but I think we've got to do it, really. It's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, honestly, and it's the one thing I struggle with a lot when looking at a lot of this stuff. From the private side versus the public side, and how you might, in private, you can snap your fingers at times and make things happen, whereas the public side can drag a little bit and all that. So that's been, you know. But in any case, the bottom line is contacted, here it is.
Yeah.
Nothing has to be done. The move's in our court if we wanted to do it. And so I don't hear anybody directing our GM to...
Well, I think we got enough on our plate. To focus
so
on.
With that, you had good sleep aid or bathroom reading material, okay?
Thank you for the fish wrap.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Ooh, fried fish sandwiches.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to the next public comment came and gone. So now it's board member comments.
I have one public comment.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Shoot.
And I forgot to tell you. In case you didn't know, Linda Herndon passed
away. Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Shoot.
My apologies there. I should have done that earlier.
Yeah. She served quite a few years for this district. Many of those years, she was president of the board. This is before we started the rotation. So prior to that, I don't know how many years Linda was president of the board, but a very strong force to be reckoned with. Very intelligent. A very good director. I just want to put that in there.
Again, my apology. I didn't write myself a note there, so although I did receive the message.
Thanks.
All right.
I'd like to add.
Yes.
Yeah, go back to Linda. You know, when Jim and I got on the board, I think, if I recall, she was the president at that point in time. In fact, when everybody back in 2010 met to, you know, there were 70-some-odd people in that boardroom with pitchforks and Tarzan Feather, they all wanted to, you know, kill everybody on the board because of the rate increase. She handled that whole thing with a plum, and she really followed in her father's footsteps, and I got to give her credit for that, you know, with a lot of vision to, you know, carry forth this, you know, our CSD. And if you look over to the left, you'll see a number of wards that for excellence, and a lot of that had to do, you know, on her. Her driving force behind that to get us those awards and to get recognition for the district, and that, you know, I wouldn't say it's not just on her back alone, but you know, on a number of contributions from the board members that we got all those awards and have become really the gold standard for in the county, at least if not Northern California, for a small community service district that's well run.
And on a personal level, outside of the district, when she was younger, she lost a daughter to SIDS. And she became a big proponent in this not happening to others. She spoke to congressional, and she became a very big part of what the doctors teach today, of how babies are laid down to sleep and whatnot like that. So she was very instrumental in that. Anyway,
our condolences to her family as well.
Yeah, condolences,
yeah. Definitely a loss to the community.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, and I think that we'd you know, somehow we could capture our comments and send a note of condolence to her family, I think it would be great. We could do that. Aside from that, I just want to bring up one other thing. I think if you guys go back to page 78 and you look at these letters that were written by Hannah as incredibly cogent, you know, clear, logical, and convincing. These are outstanding letters, and as a writer, I could appreciate the arguments and the logic behind that, and very convincing and necessary too. And so I, you know, would give her a round of applause for doing that. She does excellent work.
All right.
One other comment, our member of the public earlier thanked the staff for working under very extreme conditions, and I wanted to reiterate that and also thank staff for all their hard work on these hot days.
I think lastly, I'd like to say that, for me, you may have other things to say, but condolences to our friends across the pond.
Yeah.
That have lost so many lives and had total destruction on Maui, you know, it looked like Hiroshima or something. It was looked like an atomic bomb had gone off. It was terrible, and that death count's still climbing. So they're in our hearts.
Okay, dokie then. All right. What a way to end the meeting. Anyways, do I hear adjournment?
Move to adjourn.
Second. You're on.
Who was second?
One of the gyms.
Yeah. Director Millerick.
Yes.
Director Bryce.
Yes.
Director Freeman.
Yes.
Director Lieberman.
Yes.
Director Brown.
Yo.
About 8:37 p.m.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
Night. With one.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
You bet. Take care. Keep it cool over there.
Yeah.
So you wanted to explain something?
Yeah. I'll turn off the.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
Well, Jim is the only one on there, right?
Yeah.
But you're. Yeah.